Welcome to A Flame in the Chaos, where we talk about our real life chaos and how the flame of God never goes out. He is our light in the darkness and the calm in our chaos. And man, am I so thankful for that, because Lindsay will always bring the chaos, and thank God the Holy Spirit always brings the flame. Hello, everyone. So there is a song that I love so much, and I'm just going to read the chorus to you. It says, "On the mountains, I will bow my life to the one who set me there. In the valley, I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, I know I am not alone. You're God of the hills and the valleys." Hills and valleys, God of the hills and valleys, and I am not alone. It is so easy to sing that song, right? Like, you feel it. I've talked about that before. I just feel that song. But what really happens when we're in a valley? That's what I want to look at today. So a valley in the Bible is generally used to represent a hard time in our life. I mean, it can be anything from just something so small to other people, or something massive from, like, you know, it could be loss or depression, oppression, defeat, discouragement. Something little to someone else could be so detrimental to you in your life. And it's just a really hard time is considered a valley. Now, the opposite of a valley is the mountaintop, and that is where we're closest to God. That's where we can feel His peace and His freedom and the power of God. We're inspired. We're on top of everything. We're just really close. We're in a good place. It's just great. Our vision is clear. I've never been to any mountain ranges that are massive. I've never been to any probably real mountain ranges other than, like, Cheehaw, which is Alabama's highest point. And I've been there, and then I've been to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. That's about as far as I've been. And those mountains don't really compare to other mountains. You know, I'm in this little south region here, and we just don't have the mountains here. And I've never traveled to see those great mountains yet. But standing at the top of the highest point that I've been is still such a freeing feeling. Like, you're watching the birds, they're above you, they're soaring in the air, the air is just fresh. I mean, you're able to look down at everything that seemed so big when you were down there. But now it looks like it's, you know, an inch or a centimeter in height as you look back down to it. And you're standing there, and you can recall the plan that it took to get there. You know what I mean? When you were on the road on your way to this peak, you may have only been able to see the road in front of you, the woods right beside you, the twists and turns that you were going. You may have even gotten carsick on the way. I have a 12-year-old, and every time we go to Cheehaw, he gets carsick. He loves it. He loves to be up on the top. He loves to be at the bottom, but he hates the climb up and down going because he gets carsick. But you may remember that hike that you had to get up to that top. You remember everything that got you to that point, and now you can breathe. You're here. And so you see the blessings there, and you really don't have any worries when you're at the top. You can literally look at everything and see how God's hand works all together. I know standing at that peak, you can see county and county and county, and how they all come together, and how the flow, just all the trees meet, how the water flows from one place to the next. You can hear the animals and see them in their element, and you know, you see the sky like full, and you just cannot help but know that that is just God's hand. It is just the most freeing feeling, really. And the harder that you travel and hike, the more you enjoy that peak of the mountain. The more work that you put into it, the more you enjoy being there. And those mountain peaks, they're so breathtaking sometimes. I mean, like at sunset or sunrise. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just the best rest in your spirit that you can get. Psalm 95, verses 3-5 says, "For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hand formed the dry land." Okay, well, that's easy to remember when you're up on the mountain, right? Yes, God made this. But then, after a season of being on that mountain peak, it's no longer your spot. So however you get away from that, whether you're pushed away from it abruptly, don't see it coming, whether you're sent on a journey from God, whether, you know, you're traveling from one peak to the next, or whether you slip and fall off of that. Now, the Bible tells us, I know nobody wants to say that they slip and fall, but the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 that if you think that you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. Nobody is exempt from falling. Like, everybody is at risk. You can stand on something that you thought was a strong foundation and it crumble right at your feet and you're no longer on that peak. Now you're down. So with that, how do we get to the valley? Like, that's a whole nother topic, because there's multiple ways that you can get from the top of the mountain to the valley. But what we're going to focus on and what matters is what happens when we're there. So usually, okay, when we get to the valley, there's a whole big change, okay? Like, we have our overall shock of being in this valley. Suddenly we're alone. We can only see what's directly around us. Remember, on the mountaintop, you could see everything. You could see how everything came together for the better. You could see, what seemed so big then was small. Okay, but now we're back to only seeing what's directly around us. Everything is bigger than we are. Everything is hard to reach. Everything is far away, and it's just such a different atmosphere. You know, you remember feeling so free. Well, now it's not that freeing feeling. Now everything is bigger. There's an anxiety. There's a, oh my gosh, I'm about to have to climb this type of feeling. So if we remember in the verse of Psalm 95, it said the depths of the earth are even in his hands. So we make a big mistake in the valley of not remembering that, like we did on the mountaintop. Nighttime hits in the valley, and suddenly we start getting like standoffish because of strange noises. There's shadows, we're anxious, there's a lot of self-doubt, so we just kind of stop. And a lot of times we'll settle into one place with our back against a wall, or maybe we even, you know, enclose ourselves into a wall. We might build a whole wall around ourselves, and we don't cry out for help. And one of the main reasons that we don't cry out for help when we're in the valley is because we don't know those people who are still up on the mountaintop or are closer to getting to that mountaintop than us, to know that we have fallen from our mountaintop down into that valley. And you know, it could be that maybe there are some others in that valley with you that are willing to listen to you and hear you cry and watch you and be there for you. But it's a problem when they're not making you realize that you have to press forward. You have to go. You can't stay here. You have to leave. You know, in the last one, we talked about Hannah and how sometimes you have to stay here. A valley is not that place. A valley is not a place where you do have to stay. A valley is where you have to go. You cannot stay here. So there are whole communities, though, that set up in these valleys. And it's people who were not meant to stay there, but they got so overwhelmed and so bogged down with things like depression and fear and anger and whatever, that they just decided to set up camp because it's too much. I can't move here. They're paralyzed with those feelings and so bogged down that they feel like that's their normal life, and that's not how we were meant to live at all. We were meant to live in the freedom of feeling that mountaintop and that peak, but sometimes there are journeys from one peak to the next that we have to see. So people in valleys lose their boldness at times, and they begin to, you know, kind of lose their voice and their loud voice with that boldness on the mountaintop. And even when they were climbing the mountain and they had all that endurance and all that energy, now they're down to just a whisper or mute completely. And with that limited movement, you can really get so comfortable in that place. And so that whisper cannot get you help. Like, being mute, being still, it cannot get you help. See, what people don't realize is that when you're in the valley, those yells start to echo. Okay, if you don't even feel that right now, those yells start to echo. And you might have just a small cry out, but because of the place you're at, it's amplified. That echo is amplified of your voice. Even after you have shut your mouth, that echo keeps going. And that echo, that reflection of sound, it causes movement. And the louder you yell, the louder that echo is going to be. You know, in Psalm 145, it reminds us that the Lord is near to him who calls on him and to all that call on him in truth. So if you open your mouth with that war cry out for help, God will hear you and he'll move on your behalf. He is there completely. You might have to be in the valley, but he is there completely with you. And not only that, but those genuine mountaintop people who are there, who are looking over everything. There are some people on the mountaintop that can see things that you can't see because of the place that you're in, that were meant to help you make it up to the top. There are people who are not quite on the mountaintop yet who can say, hey, watch out for that. I just came through that. You know what I mean? Your cry, letting people know that you're there, it helps you get through. But they can't know to help you if you are mute and closed off, camping out in your valley. You can't do that. So that war cry is just one part, though. You have to move. You cannot keep sitting there. You have to push. And I know that you may say, Lindsay, you don't understand what I've been through. You don't know what it's like. You don't know how hard that was. What I know is that with a true war cry and with faith and with you truly being ready to get up, all you have to do is put one foot in front of the other. It may be the tiniest little inch of a step, but every single day, if you do that, every day is going to be a little unfamiliar, a little uncomfortable. You're going to go through hard places, but it is all movement. Is it easy? No, it's not. It's not easy at all. I have been in valley after valley after valley. Now, I've hit some mountaintops too, for sure, but it is not easy. And I've been in valleys where I was the person that camped out and stayed. I camped out and stayed in the last valley for about 3 years. That is not where it was. And it takes so much work. But you know what? After a few faithful steps, then you start to see how God's moving. Get out of that normal. If you're in a valley, then what is holding you back? You don't want to do it? Do it anyway. Get up. If it's your house, clean it up. Sell it. If you need to throw it away, throw it away. If you need to speak it out and claim it, do it. Just put time into it. Pray over it. Fast over it. Whatever it is, just start moving again. Refreshing those waters. Don't let it sit there and be stagnant and stale. Stir that inside of you so that you can get that moving again. I think about, you know, I'm a nurse. I work in the rehab, and you see people all the time, and they have these joint replacement surgeries. It's foreign to them. It is foreign in their body. A valley is foreign to us. We did not know that we were going to be there. It is not what we expected. And now what do we do with it? But going through the rehab process, you learn that inflammation, that pain comes down the more that you work it. Sometimes we're in a valley and we don't want to work those things because it hurts too much, because it's too fresh, because it's too new, because I'm not supposed to put weight on this, because I'm not supposed to call out to the... Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And the more that you do it, the better it gets. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it's hard. But you know what? You may have a scar there where that knee, hip, shoulder, whatever was replaced. But eventually it starts working just like new. You've got a story to tell. And on some x-rays, it looks pretty cool. But you know what? That is a testimony of what you've come through. Look, I can walk like new, right? Anyways, some people go through those replacements and they had so much fear about having the surgery. Then they have the surgery and it's like, oh, that recovery only took a week. Yeah, that was great. You know what I mean? Some people, my mom had the worst knee replacement surgery. It was so bad. She was allergic to the staples they put in it. She had allergic reactions. Like, it was horrible. But guess what? After that valley, after that initial rehab, after the wound care, all that, she's out of it. You come out of those places if you want to come out of them. She could have sat there and let that wound get infected and never done anything about it and sat there and cried and in pain and let it drip and let it swell and not touched it because it hurts. Don't look at it because it looks bad. I don't want to tell anybody because this isn't what's supposed to happen. No, she got up. She went to the doctor. Our doctor is God Himself. He trumps everything, every doctor, like with amazement. You know what I mean? If we'll trust a doctor, there's no reason we can't trust God. He knows us anyway. He sees us anyway. Get up. Anyways, so in Psalm 23 and 4, it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. That rod is authority and power and discipline and offense that God and defense that God provides. That staff is concern and care and passion that God provides. He is our shepherd. We are His sheep. If you know anything about a shepherd and sheep, He keeps them. It is His job to protect them. And He will leave the flock if one gets away to go chase it. I was that one as well, y'all. I don't say things without have been in the situation. I was that one that got away that He chased and brought right back, even though I didn't need to. He should have just let me jump off that cliff, but He did not. He brought me right on back to the herd. And I'm so thankful. But what I'm trying to walk and I don't feel God. You may say that in your head. Like, I'm trying to walk. I'm trying to cry out, but I just don't feel him. Okay, well, are you doing it in truth? Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible just told us right up there, if we were to call out with him, like to him in truth, I mean, those who call out in truth, right? He hears them. So some people, you don't want to hear this, but you entertain the darkness in the valley. Some of you like being there in the darkness in the valley. You like the attention that it gets you. Some of you like that you can, you know, go to every prayer meeting and cry and be the center of attention every single time. Some of you like harboring those feelings. Some of you entertain it. Some of you, if you know this song is going to make me cry, you listen to it 10 times. I've been there. I've done it. Some of you, even though you know I should not be in this position talking to this person, you stay and do it anyway. That is entertaining that valley. Stop entertaining it. Stop it. You know what? Listerine, you put it in your mouth and you start rinsing it around. Guess what? It burns. It burns like fire. It makes my eyes water. I hate it. It burns like fire. But you know what it does when I spit it out? When I give it that 60 seconds and I spit it out, it's killed the germs. It's killed the bacteria. Sometimes you have to Listerine yourself. Sometimes you have to separate yourself and feel that hurt and feel that burn for just a minute so that you can be cleansed of that negativity, of that bacteria, of that germ in your life. Like, sometimes that's what it takes. So I'm just saying, some people, and you know, another thing is that some people just don't have faith. They cry out like, God, I'm in this valley. Can you help me? Oh, but he won't help me. Something bad's going to happen. Something else bad's going to happen. Yes, something else bad's going to happen. We live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. There are things that are going to happen to every single one of us. But you know what? My God provides peace and joy that nobody else can take away, and eternal life at the end of it. Like, there is so much peace and comfort that he can provide and to shelter us from things that other people feel that we should be feeling and we're not, because he has us, because he's given us truth and cleared our vision to be able to see the truth. You know what I mean? So you may be crying out, but you're just saying words. You don't mean it. That's not what you're thinking in your heart. God sees our heart. He knows us. If you're crying out saying, God, I feel this way, he looks at you and knows that you're lying. Why are you lying to God? You know? So you can't walk in a valley with God's protection and not really want his protection, accept his protection, or believe in his protection, right? Those are some areas that we have to kind of look at. Now, I'm telling you, though, if you do cry out in truth, you just keep walking, knowing that God has you covered. And you're, you know what? Valleys are so bad. Valleys are so bad. Desert areas are so bad. But it is the movement from one place to another. You were at that peak. That's fine. Come on down the mountain. Go through that valley. Climb on up the mountain. And there's another peak waiting. If you were in one spot, now you find yourself in a desert, know that your promised land is waiting and God already has it prepared for you. And he will lead you and guide you through it, whether that be from himself, his Holy Spirit speaking through us and to us, whether that be from somebody on the journey before you or somebody on the mountaintop that can see things that you can't see. God provides the way to get you to the land that he already has prepared for you. So I just want to tell you, if you are in that valley, I am encouraging you, get up, take one step in front of the other, crying out in faith. Let your war cry echo through that valley like never before. You got this. And do you know what will continue to fuel you? When you praise and when you pray and when you study in your word faithfully, giving up those things that normally has your time, get off of every time you want to be on Facebook, get in that word. You know what? The Bible has an app. The Bible has an app. Every time you want to feel like you just want to scroll through something, open up that Bible app and scroll through something on there. Like, that is how you fuel yourself through those valleys. So I just want to encourage you. You got this. And I am here to pray for you in any way that I can. But my God has you, just like he has always had me. So be encouraged in your valley.